You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 15th of September 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I thought we would have a look at white privilege and exactly what it means before having a look at an example of some privileged white people discovering that their privilege has led to them being sacked from an orchestra. And this piece about white privilege, it actually comes from the BBC, and I was looking it up last week because I wanted to include it when we were talking about that mural that had all the people that had kept their shops open during COVID in that village, and they all happened to be white. So they were being told that they needed to take people off that mural and just put people of colour on there just simply because of the fact that they were part of a different race. And I was going to include this in to say, well, this is obviously their white privilege that they get removed from this mural. So it's not an up-to-date news article. It's just basically the BBC's description of what white privilege is. They say, what exactly is white privilege and where does it come from? If you look it up in a dictionary, white privilege is described as people with white skin having advantages in society that other people do not have. And of course, the only societies they are talking about where white people have this privilege is European societies. Is it not entirely predictable that Europeans will have built societies that are going to benefit themselves? I mean, they're the people that actually built these societies. They're the people that built up the countries of Europe. So, of course, they are going to be built to advantage the Europeans. They're not going to be built to advantage African people living in Africa or Chinese people living in China. They're going to advantage the people that built the social institutions and built structures of society. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that what coloured skin they happen to have. It's everything to do with the fact that they are the descendants of the people that built the country. The BBC say, but what exactly does this mean? Kehinde Andrews is a professor of Black Studies at Birmingham City University, and he leads the Black Studies Association. For me, white privilege is the benefits that you get from being white. If you are an ethnic minority, there are certain disadvantages you have, he said. For example, it is a fact that you are more likely to be unemployed. White privilege is not having to deal with racism. Okay, well, why is it that if you're from an ethnic minority, you are less likely to be employed? Could that possibly be that if you're from an ethnic minority, you might have a lower average IQ? And this can be checked on the World IQ map. You can just Google that and find that out. If you have a lower average IQ, perhaps you're not likely to get such high-powered jobs as people with a higher average IQ. That could be the reason for this. Could it possibly be simply that they're living in a different country and they may speak a different language? We have lots of people now that live in Britain that don't actually speak English. There may be all sorts of different reasons why an ethnic minority may be more likely to be unemployed. But the way that these people work is they just assume that every difference that there is in outcomes must be down to white racism in some way. And that's essentially what he is saying here, is this unemployment figure is down to white people not having to deal with racism. According to the most recent government figures, over 6% who are unemployed in the UK are non-white. and that is compared to 3.6 of the white population. Now, a sensible way to look at that would be to say, well, perhaps it's not such a good idea to import people who are non-white into the country because they're twice as likely not to be employed. They're twice as likely to actually be on benefits and to be taken out of the system rather than putting into the system. And a government that actually cared about its people, that is the way that it would look at this. It could still say then, well, and then we'll work on trying to improve the prospects of the non-whites that we have in the country. But the first thing they would do is stop any more from coming in so that they could then concentrate on improving things for the ones that are actually here. But of course, they don't do that because this policy of immigration that the government have brought in, the reasons for it are continually changing. All that doesn't change is that they are determined to keep replacing as many white people as they can. UK government statistics also show that between 2018 and 2019, black people were more than 9 times as likely to be stopped and searched by police as white people. Again, why might this be? What the BBC are trying to imply here is that this must be because the police are racist and instead of stopping an equal number of white people, they're stopping 9 times as many black people. But why do the police stop someone to search them? Well, the reason why they stop someone to search them is because they fit a suspect definition, or description rather, that has been given to them by a witness. So what is happening here is that black people are 9 times more likely to be suggested as a suspect by a witness. It's not that racism is going on here. How can the police change this if not just by not following up on reports of black suspects? That's the only way that this can be changed. I don't believe that the police are just deliberately going after black people, because the police make out of all the institutions that we have, probably the police, more than any other institution, have made attempts to not appear to be racist and to be completely equal in their policies. It also says here, a quarter of the UK prison population is made up of non-white people, despite them only representing 14% of the whole population. Well, it appears to me that here we have the answer for why black people are more likely to be stopped than white people by the police, because they're twice as likely to be in prison for committing a crime. So that essentially says that they are more likely to commit crimes. So not only are they more likely to be suggested as a suspect in a crime, but they are actually more likely to be found guilty of a crime. And don't think that I'm talking about this because I'm trying to get people to hate black people. There are reasons for this. It's because they are a different race. They have a lower average IQ. And one of the differences between us and them is that they have a higher propensity towards crime. They have a lower temper threshold than we do. They have different ways of understanding things to the way that we do. And if we look at societies that are 100% black or 99% black, more crime occurs there. Now, they all regret doing the crime after it. It's just that they are more likely to carry out the crime. And when you have somebody with a lower than average IQ that carries out a crime, that means they have diminished responsibility. And in America, if you have an IQ below a certain point, I think it may be 70, if you have an IQ below 70, then you cannot be put on death row. You cannot be executed for a crime because you're seen as having diminished responsibility. And there are quite a few countries in Africa who have an average IQ of under 70. So the reason why we see this happening, it's not that we should be saying, well, black people are terrible people because they commit more crimes. It's just that they are more likely to commit crimes because they are a different race. And the fault here for the increasing crime is not the black people themselves, it's the government for importing them, because the government knew full well what the crime statistics were in countries in Africa. They knew full well that they were more likely to commit crimes, and yet they still imported them into our country. And as I say, because of this lower average IQ, because of the fact that they are a different race to us, we have to look at it that they have a diminished responsibility. So really, we should be trying to prevent situations occurring where they might be able to commit a crime. That is the way to deal with this. What they're trying to say here is that this must be the white man's fault. It must be that there are racist police out there and racist judges that are just throwing black people into prison when they shouldn't be in prison. And another way to explain this is to look at the figures for men. Men actually make up something like 90% or 95% of the prison population. Is that because the police are letting all the women off and they're just going after the men? Is it that they are men-ist? No, it isn't. It's because men are more likely to commit crimes than women. And we don't look at those statistics and say, well, it must be because the men are being oppressed and they're being thrown in prison when they haven't actually carried out a crime because the police hate men. That's just not logical, is it? And yet we will say that when we see that there are these different statistics for black people being in prison. They continue, UK government statistics also show that between 2018 and 2019, black people were more than five times as likely to have force used against them by police as white people. Again, this looks suspicious, doesn't it? Why would the police be more likely to be using force against black people than whites? Well, we have to look at other statistics to find the answer for that. And when we look at the statistics for people resisting arrest, we see that black people are far more likely to resist arrest than white people are. And when we look at the instances that we are shown of white police in America that are shooting black people or they end up killing black people, it's always because the black person is resisting arrest. I mean, when you look at what was happening with George Floyd, he was refusing to do as he was told. He was determined that he was going to lie on the ground. The police tried to put him in the car and he wriggled out the other side of the car. The police officer was found guilty of killing him or murdering him or whatever it was. But George Floyd was still resisting arrest. If he had just got in the car and sat there, he would still be alive today. So we see here that there is other reasons for why the police are more likely to use force against black people than whites. And the reason for that is because black people are more likely to resist arrest. So if you don't know these things, you read this and you think, well, it must be that whites are oppressing blacks and the police are racist. But that's not actually the truth. The campaign group Rerooted is working to get black history taught in all UK schools. One of the group's members, Samuel, said that his race affects how he is seen by others, including law enforcement. Well, the reason for that would be the statistics that I have pointed out. That may be the reason why he is being looked at in a different way by law enforcement. It's not because of his race, it's because of the law enforcement officer's experience with people like him, and also the statistics, because he knows that he's more likely to end up with having to use force against this person because they might well resist arrest. So he's going to be a little bit more careful around this person, this Samuel, than he may be around whites. And that's just pattern recognition of his previous experiences that he may have had with black people. It's not racism. It's also, I think, blacks are more likely to carry a knife as well than white people are. So there are all these different reasons why a police officer may treat somebody who is black differently, but it won't be because they're black. It will be because they're more likely to carry a knife, because they're more likely to resist arrest, because they're more likely to have drugs on them, maybe because they may not speak English. All sorts of other reasons that there can be. Samuel says, if you were to ask my friends to describe me, they would probably say that I am funny, kind, and gentle. That from the age of 10, people that didn't know me would assume I am dangerous. Well, again, that may be because of what area the person was in. It may be because the police officer had just been told that there was a description of a suspect that looked like him, that had just carried out a mugging or just carried out a stabbing. And that would be the reason for it. It wouldn't be because the police officer just thought, well, he's a black guy, I'm going to give him a dirty look. He says, I remember going to shops as a 10-year-old and having security guards following me around and searching my bags before I left. It was because I'm black, he added. Again, it's probably far more likely to be because the shop itself had had a lot of shoplifting going on by suspects that looked similar to him. I mean, that would be predicted, wouldn't it, by the fact that people that look like him are twice as likely to be in prison. And to be in prison means they've been found guilty of a crime. So it is just a fact that they're more likely to be found guilty of a crime. So if you're going to be a sensible security guard or you're going to be a sensible police officer, you're going to try and prevent these sort of things from happening. And obviously, if this guy was innocent, this guy Samuel was innocent, then it's a shame that this happens. But that's the problem with multiculturalism. Would it be any different if Samuel lived in a monocultural area? If he lived in an area that just had black police and black judges and black teachers, and he was just amongst other black people, then this wouldn't happen, would it? He couldn't say that that this was happening because he was black, because it would be a black police officer and he'd be surrounded by black people. So he wouldn't be able to accuse anybody of racism then. And that's the solution to this, is to just have white people living with whites, black people living with blacks, Chinese people living with Chinese, and we would all get along absolutely fine. It's when you mix all the different peoples together in one area, that's when you get the friction. According to Professor Andrews, the term white privilege was first used by a black American writer called W.E.B. Du Bois in 1935. And he says, even if you are poor and not doing the best in society, there is still this benefit that you get from being white. Again, I would say that what's really going on here is that if you are European and you live in a European society that was built by Europeans, then you have that benefit there. I mean, if you're black and you live in a society that was built by black people, then you have a benefit there. I mean, if somebody who was white was to go out and live with the Kalahari Bushmen for 6 months, I mean, he would say, well, this society is all built around the Kalahari Bushmen. These Kalahari Bushmen know how to do things much better than I do. These Kalahari Bushmen, they have Kalahari Bushmen privilege. I mean, it's just nonsense to say that this is some kind of privilege that white people have. It's just that we built our societies and we live in our societies. What we have done is that we have invited these other peoples to come and live in our society, and then they're being encouraged to complain that the society wasn't built to cater to their tastes. Du Bois used it to explain why poor white people didn't want to team up with poor black people to help one another after slavery was banned. Well, I should imagine that poor white people associate more with members of their own family, maybe a middle-class white man, than they did with a poor black person, because the poor black person is part of another extended family. That was probably the reason why. I mean, this is at the root of this, is you're talking about extended families here. When you're talking about race, you're talking about a kinship group, an extended kinship group, an extended family. And you want the best for your extended family, and you associate yourself with your extended family because you all share the same identity with them. It's not that you hate other extended kinship groups just because you want the best for your own, just because you associate with your own kinship group. They are the people that are going to be most likely able to understand you and share the same experiences with you. I mean, what is being said here by Professor Andrews about Du Bois is communist, isn't it? This idea the workers of the world should unite, the classes should be united by their class. Well, blood is thicker than water, and people are going to identify with their family much more than they're going to identify with an idea or the group of people that they work with. I mean, you're always going to be closer to your family. You're going to be closer to your family than you are even to your friends, let alone people that you've never met before that just happen to do the same job that you do. Yes, you've got something in common with the people that do the same work as you do, but it's not like the sort of thing you have in common with your parents and your grandparents. Blood is always thick in the water. This idea that everybody should be uniting because they all work, this is Marxism. This is a communist idea. So why is this being presented in this BBC article? Why is this being presented here? Well, it's because the BBC promote communist ideas, of course. Now, I have an instance here of this white privilege in action. The English touring opera has dropped 14 white musicians in a woke drive to increase diversity in the company. So how's that for the privilege that these white musicians have? They just get given the sack simply because of the fact that they're white. The musicians, aged 40 to 66, have been told they will not be offered contracts with the company in spring 2022, citing diversity guidance from the Arts Council England, the Sunday Times has reported. And of course we say, well, this is what diversity is. Diversity just means less white people. The musicians, who officially worked as freelancers, can be dropped from the opera season on season, but many have played with the company for up to 20 years and consider it a permanent job. Imagine that. You work for a company for 20 years, and at the end of the 20 years, you get told, we're going to give you the sack because you're the wrong race. We want to replace you with some other races. And of course, it's not these other races' idea that this should be done. This is something that we've dreamt up ourselves. White people at the moment are very maladaptive, and we are doing all sorts of things that are harmful to ourselves. It's self-harm. And these other races would be foolish not to take us up on our offer to replace ourselves. So we can't blame them for this. You have to take responsibility for it yourself, basically. Not us as individuals, but as a group. As a group, we have instituted these policies, which eventually they will result in the end of our people group. So it's pretty much suicidal what we're doing at the moment, but you certainly can't blame these other people groups for taking advantage of this, because they understand that they are competing against us. It's just us that seem to have forgotten the fact that we should be competing against them. The Arts Council England has hit back at the ETO, which it funds to the tune of £1.78 million a year, saying that it never encouraged the company to sack musicians. Of course, but if they're telling them that they have to increase diversity, that means they're going to have to replace some of the people they have with people from diverse backgrounds, doesn't it? So they may say they didn't deliberately say to them, sack your musicians, but that's what is implied when they say that some group needs to increase its diversity. They say, we did not instruct the English touring opera to send this letter. We are now in conversation with ETO to ensure that no funding criteria have been breached. And of course, the English touring opera would have been looking at this thinking, well, if we don't increase our diversity, if we don't replace some of these white musicians, we're not going to get the funding, and we're going to get told we're racist, and we haven't fulfilled our diversity quota. So you do have to feel sorry for the English touring opera, who the council are now trying to sort of pass the buck to them and say, well, it wasn't us, but it was the council that told them they had to increase diversity. ETO director James Conway wrote to musicians telling them the company was going through some significant changes that included increasing all kinds of diversity in its team. He said the opera would prioritise increased diversity in the orchestra, as there have been steady advances in this area on stage. What does he mean there by steady advances? Perhaps he means that diversity, or people of diverse backgrounds have got better at singing, they've got better in the opera. There is a big difference between black voices and white voices, a very big difference. It would be interesting for somebody to do a study on that, or to write descriptively about it. If you compare a sort of voice of Whitney Houston, which is warbling, and you compare that to a white opera voice that can hold a note, there is quite a difference there. And if you think about black voices, quite high-pitched black voices, and you compare that to a high-pitched white voice, again, it's very different. There are these differences between the voices. As I say, I'd like to hear more about the differences between them. Julian Lee did write a particularly good essay on it some years ago, but haven't heard from him for some years now. James Conway said the opera would prioritise increasing diversity, and he added the decision was in line with the firm guidance of the Arts Council. The move was condemned by the Musicians' Union, which said it was appalled by the letter. This equates to almost half the orchestra losing their roles, it added. Many of the members who have been told they will not be booked for the 2022 have been performing with ETO for 20 years or more. So, literally, half the orchestra is being sacked because they're white. And yet we're told that we have white privilege. I mean, it doesn't add up, does it? We're telling everybody that white people have this privilege at the same time as sacking whites and replacing them with non-whites. And also trying to censor the people that point out the ludicrousness of this, of it all, the hypocrisy of it all, the fact that this doesn't add up. It creates cognitive dissonance amongst the British public, who have been told one thing and another thing, but what they see is actually the opposite of what they are being told. The ETO did not reply to requests for comment ahead of publication, and there are currently no musicians of a non-white background in the orchestra, which is set to resume shows next month. Well, I have an idea. How about an ethnic minority orchestra starts up? How about they start up an orchestra which is specifically for non-whites? I'm sure that they would get placings. I'm sure there would be lots of people that would be wanting to book them to show that they supported diversity. And then you could keep on this orchestra which has white people in it, and you could have an orchestra which also have black people in it. Why do you have to replace the white people in the existing white orchestra with blacks? Is this the sort of thing that goes on in Africa? Are they calls that they need to start replacing the black members of the orchestra with white people? Of course there aren't, because that would be accused of being white supremacist, wouldn't it? The orchestra tours towns and cities in the UK with live productions and educational projects, reaching nearly 50,000 people a year. It is the latest blow to musicians who were unable to work for the majority of the pandemic and were forced to rely on grants and loans. So this makes it even worse for these musicians. After having worked there for 20 years, and then they're now right at the end of their savings because they haven't worked for a year, and then they get told, well, sorry, you're the wrong race. We're going to give you the sack now, and we're going to employ some black musicians instead. I mean, it's not going to do much for race relations doing this, is it? Musicians said they had hoped the spring 2022 season would see them return to work and be an opportunity to repay debts. The ETO has said it will consider the musicians for future productions and praised the commitment and achievement of all freelance players. And again, another point here is that merit is not being rewarded, is it? And these people have worked there for 20 years and they're commended for their commitment and their achievement, and yet they lose their position simply because of their race. It seems that nowadays merit doesn't account for anything. If you're non-white, then people want to employ you and they want to put you in these positions. And nobody ever says anything about, well, these new diverse players, they're actually much better players than the white ones. They're not saying we need to get rid of you because we've found somebody else that is a much better musician, or somebody else that is a much better singer. They're just saying we need to get rid of you because we need to get somebody black in. It's like we have just done away with our meritocracy and replaced it with this idea that we just need to replace as many white people as possible. Which I say, it hasn't come from black people themselves. It's come from ourselves that have done this. This is our reward for turning our back on our traditions and our customs and our ancestors. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.